shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Your narrator is Orrin Fenton Petito. With heartfelt thanks to Almighty God Yahweh, it is our great pleasure to bring you a series of dissertations all pertaining to the problem of the New Order. Listen now as the modern-day Aryan Aaronic priesthood calls the whole house of Israel to regather and worship your God Yahweh. The ram's horns and the trumpets are calling for us to assemble and prepare to exercise our God-given duty to rule the world as Christ's return comes closer each day. The victory is not ours. The biggest news item has been the defeat of Iraq in the Middle East, and the public has rejoiced. But should there be rejoicing? Should you as a Christian rejoice? Naturally, one cannot help but rejoice in the knowledge that few American soldiers, or perhaps to be more accurate, we should say soldiers from America, were killed in the conflict. But there is much more to consider beyond that. Before rejoicing, consider who really lost the war. After being bombed to bits and retreating out of Kuwait, Saddam Hussein had the audacity to tell his people that they had won a great victory. Americans recognized such action as the lying propaganda of a foreign leader. To the American public, it's obvious the Iraqis suffered a major defeat, not a victory. What's not so obvious to them is the lying propaganda from Jew-controlled, treacherous leaders who are telling them America won a victory. Spoils of war determine the victor and the loser. That is, the loser always has to pay the spoils of war. To determine the biggest loser in the Middle East fiasco, find the party who has to pay the most, and that is the party who lost the most. Who will pay the most? Who has paid for their allies? Who has paid Israel for doing nothing? Who will pay to rebuild? Find the answers to these questions and you will find the biggest loser in the Middle East, not the biggest victor. Of course, the answer to these questions is America and Americans. But the rejoicing public seems to have failed to consider this. The sheeple of America have simply been deceived in this matter. Isaiah, the 21st chapter, the 1st through 5th verses, describes Operation Desert Shield and Desert Storm, and there the prophet is horrified of the treachery he foresaw. Quote, "The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth." According to Strong's exhaustive concordance of the Bible, the Hebrew word for treacherously means to cover, to act covertly, to pillage, and according to Jansenius Hebrew Chalde Lexicon of the Old Testament, this passage in Isaiah, the 21st chapter, the 2nd verse, means to oppress, to afflict, to spoil. What has happened is the true conquered people and their future children and grandchildren are being forced to pay out more spoils of war. Only it's being treacherously covered up. Few people who heard Bush's speech understood that the New World Order concept means the transfer of vast amounts of America's wealth to Saudi Arabia, which in turn is depositing that wealth into Chase Manhattan Bank, Citicorp, and other big international banks that are allied with the Trilateral Commission. Under this sinister and complex conspiracy, these international Jewish banks will utilize their new Saudi deposits to make vast new loans to the Soviet Union. Because it is politically impossible to send the tens of millions of tax dollars directly to the USSR as foreign aid, President Bush and other trilateralists arranged a clever, indirect foreign aid scheme. Thus, a day after Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev announced his support for the American resolution, he got a promised $4 billion in loans and aids from Saudi Arabia and other Gulf states. Since the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred people, not the satanic Jews, settled and formed this nation of America, and are in fact the covenant people of the Scriptures, the Israelites, they could not possibly have won this latest war, for their God has informed them that as long as they violate His laws, they will lose their wars and they will pay out spoils. Quote, "The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. A people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your labors, and you shall never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually." Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, 25th and 33rd verses. Before they rejoice, Americans should consider who really lost by considering who really pays. Speaking of treachery, cover-up, and a covert operation, one must reconsider Saddam Hussein. As I reconsider him and the entire Middle East scenario, I am now more convinced than ever of our inability to fully grasp the depth of intrigue of our cunning anti-Christ Jewish enemies. Think about it. If our country was threatened with an invasion from foreign troops, and our leaders or leaders told us they would fight and cause the invaders to drown in their own blood, and then, upon invasion, those leaders did not fight, would that not be betrayal and treason? Before rejoicing, we should consider that ours is not the only nation that might have leaders betray us in favor of one world government. Was not Saddam Hussein once chosen and equipped militarily by interests in America, including the CIA, which President Bush once headed? Was he not enticed to invade Kuwait? Did he ever really fight back? In reconsidering the whole affair, either Saddam was just one of the actors, or he himself was betrayed by someone such as Russia or the CIA. Regardless, the treachery and intrigue seems to be there and should be considered before there is rejoicing. As William Shakespeare once said, all the world is a stage and all the men and women merely players. Consider that we are now one giant step closer to the New World Order and what the New World Order means. President Bush has made clear to any with ears to hear that the objective in the Middle East conflict was the New World Order. In an address to Congress, September 11, 1990, he stated, quote, "We stand today at a unique and extraordinary moment. The crisis in the Persian Gulf, as grave as it is, also offers a rare opportunity to move toward an historic period of cooperation. Out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order, can emerge." End of quote. In his State of the Union address, he said, quote, "What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause. End of quote. Did you hear that? In that same State of the Union address, the president made it clear the idea of the new world order was for all the nations to become one. He stated, quote, "With few exceptions, the world now stands as one," end of quote. Thus, before rejoicing over Iraq's defeat, it must be considered what this one world objective really means. What does it mean for the nation of America, for our national sovereignty, for our freedoms, and for the future of Christianity? Consider that a one world order means a one world bank. It's obvious that the Iraqis did not win, and when one considers who pays the bill for spoils of war, it's just as obvious the Americans did not win. Since the entire operation was done on credit, it's equally obvious Jew bankers did quite well. The international Jewish banker, Paul Warburg, one of the founders of the Federal Reserve System, said before the United States Senate, February 17, 1950, quote, "We will have a world government whether you like it or not. The only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or by consent," end of quote, by this fresh Jew. Consider what a one-world Jewish bank means. Banks mean loans, and loans mean interest, which is a violation of biblical law, all of which means debt and poverty, which means slavery. Quote, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave," end of quote, from the Bible, Proverbs 22nd chapter, 7th verse. Such debt, poverty, and slavery is not a cause for rejoicing. It is simply further evidence we are being punished for our sins, that is, for our violation of biblical law. "The alien Jew who is among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you shall go down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail." That's from the Bible, Deuteronomy, 28th chapter, 43rd and 44th verses. Isaiah chapter 10 describes how God punishes his sinful people with an enemy that he sends upon them to, quote, "capture booty and to seize plunder and to trample them down like mud in the streets," end of quote. From Isaiah, the 10th chapter, the 6th verse. In the process of making spoil of God's people, the enemy Jews removed the boundaries of the people and gathered in the world. Are you watching what is happening in America today? And gathered in the world. Isaiah, 10th chapter, 13th and 14th verses, describes how the enemy boasts of his accomplishment. Quote, "And I removed the boundaries of the peoples and plundered their treasures, and like a mighty man I brought down their inhabitants. And my hand reached to the riches of the peoples like a nest, and as one gathers abandoned eggs, I gathered all the earth. And there was not one that flapped its wing or opened its beak or chirped." End of quote. The new world order means the destruction of national sovereignties, or, in other words, the removal of national boundaries. A free trade zone with Mexico means the elimination of our southern boundary. Debt to international Jew bankers means the mortgage and foreclosure of nations, which means the elimination of national boundaries and the accumulation of the wealth of the earth into the hands of a few Jews and their co-religionists. Sir Josiah Stump, president of the Bank of England, was quoted as once saying, quote, "Banking was conceived in iniquity and born in sin. Bankers own the earth. Take it away from them, but leave them the power to create money, and with a flick of a pen they will create enough money to buy it back again. Take this great power away from them, and all the great fortunes like mine will disappear." He was said to be the second richest man in Great Britain. Continuing, "And they ought to disappear, for then this would be a better and happier world to live. But if you want to continue to be the slaves of the bankers and pay the cost of your own slavery, then let bankers continue to create money and control credit." End of quote. Before America, the greatest debtor nation in the world, rejoices concerning the Middle East fiasco, they had better consider these points concerning world banking, debt, and slavery. When the Babylonian civilization collapsed, 3% of the people owned all the wealth of the earth. When Persia was destroyed, 2% of the people owned all the wealth. When Greece went down to ruin, 0.5% of the people possessed all the wealth. When the Roman Empire fell, the wealth of the civilized world was owned by 2,000 people, and then the Dark Ages followed. It's been reported that 90% of the wealth in America is owned or controlled by 2% of the people, who are Jews and crypto-Jews. Presently, the national debt has gone from $2 billion in 1913 to $3.2 trillion in 1990, meaning if $10 billion a year could be paid to the debt, it would require 320 years, think of it, 320 years to pay off the Jews, or 8 generations of American slaves. Before Americans rejoice over a war which just cost them more and gained them nothing, they should consider these figures. Consider the New World Order means a one world court. In the March 1990 issue of the UN Chronicle, there was a call for a wider role for the world court. Before there's any rejoicing over an event that brings us a step closer to the world order, which will mean a world court, someone should consider the consequences of a world court. Such a court will eliminate a jury of your peers. Will such a court uphold the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, or biblical morality? Will it be guilty until proven innocent, or innocent until proven guilty? No one seems to consider such points. No one seems to be asking, and more importantly, no one seems to be telling. Consider one world patriotism. The United Nations Secretary General said he detects the birth of a new kind of loyalty, an earth patriotism. With such a loyalty, will our children then be loyal to the country of their forefathers or to the world? Of course, there are other aspects of the New World Order to consider, such as plans for a one-world religion. What is it going to be? Talmudism, of course. Or plans for a one-world bronze race. What happens to the white race? Or a one-world currency? What happens to the money you've already made? Again, these are points no one seems to be considering as they rejoice over an event that brings them ever closer to the new world order. This push toward a new world order is nothing new. It is as old as Babylon and Babel. The Bible tells us of it happening before and prophesies it would again be attempted as it is being done today. Genesis describes a similar attempt to become one. Quote, "Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. And it came about as they journeyed east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. Let us make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. Genesis, the 11th chapter, 1st through 9th verses. Notice in this recorded Bible history how the people had become one. Behold, they are one people, Genesis 11, 6. People should consider if the God of Scriptures was in favor of such an understanding and accomplishment, or if he was so against it, he destroyed this vain attempt of man. Consider the parallel of the present attempt to bring in a new world order and the building of Babel. Construction site is the same, the land of Shinar. The word Shinar means region around Babylon, used of the country around Babylon. This is the general area where the Middle East conflict took place and from which Mr. Bush says is to come the New World Order. It's interesting to note how the brilliant Bible scholar Farrah Fenton, in his Bible translation, The Holy Bible in Modern English, translates the land of Shinar as the bush land. Quote, but some of them marching from the east arrived at a plain in the bush land. Genesis, the 11th chapter, the 2nd verse. Petroleum, oil, was the key ingredient in the building cohesion of the great city and its Tower of Babel. And petroleum was the ingredient used in bringing the nations together and holding them together in a coalition in the Middle East conflict. Quote, and they used tar for mortar, end of quote. Genesis, the 11th chapter, the 3rd verse. The King James translation uses the word slime instead of tar. The Hebrew word is chema and means asphalt. Farrah Fenton translates it, petroleum. This land of oil in the Middle East is bushland. That is, the type of land that President Bush, who is a third-generation oil man, or petroleum man, is interested in. George Bush's father and grandfather were employed by Harriman and Company, international investment banking firm located in New York City. They were hired to aid in the financing and rebuilding of the Baku oil fields in the Soviet Union, which were destroyed during the Russian Revolution of 1917. George Bush's father, Prescott Bush, was brought in as a vice president and by 1929 was in charge of the full management of Harriman and Company. In 1948, George Bush was financed in his Texas oil business by his uncle, George H. Walker, former president of Harriman and Company, making President Bush a third-generation oil man. In light of the Middle Eastern situation, it is interesting to note that the very lucrative oil drilling rights in the Bahrain oil fields in Saudi Arabia are owned by the Haran Energy Corp in Dallas, Texas, of which George Bush Jr. is a director and major stockholder. He is also engaged as a special consultant to Haran for an additional $120,000 a year. By the way, Haran's revenues are over $1.1 billion per year. American troops have been defending George Jr.'s Bahrain oil rights at a cost of $1 billion a month to the United States taxpayers. The cost in terms of human life means little in the building of old Babel and today's New World Order. In the building of Babel, the scripture says, they also were building a city. The Hebrew word translated Babel is also translated Babylon. Revelation, the 18th chapter, 12th and 13th verses informs us of the order of priority of the system known as Babylon, which places gold at the top and human life at the bottom. The ancient book of Jasher, which the Bible makes reference to, describes in more detail the building of the Tower of Babel and illustrates the low value of human life that existed. Quote, "And if a brick should fall from their hands and get broken, they would all weep over it. And if a man fell and died, none of them would look at him." Jasher, the 9th chapter, 28th verse. So today, as people rejoice at the defeat of Iraq, who considers, looks at, mourns for, or cares about 150,000 dead men, women, and children that we Americans murdered to please the Jews? It's just a small price to pay for a Jewish New World Order. The House of Israel, repent from Jewish-inspired sin. Satan's children want you to lust after the things of this world system. Don't lose the crown you have struggled to obtain. Listen to the warning of the horses of Revelation. The true love you are searching for will be found only in the kingdom of Almighty God. Listen, you are being called. The origins of wars. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust at war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet you have not, because ye ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, race polluters, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Confusion resulted from the old Babel project, and today confusion abounds in the Middle East, New World Order project. People are confused in their thinking of who won and are confused as to why America was there. At first, people were against it. Now they hail it. Many patriotic Americans who fly the American flag regularly quit flying it when the war developed. Those who never flew the flag formally flew flags everywhere. People's feelings were confused, and some said they didn't support the war, but they supported our troops. It was supposed to be a UN peacekeeping activity, but America pays the bill. We called them our troops, but Americans were confused about why the troops couldn't wear an American flag. Did you hear that? They couldn't wear an American flag on their uniforms, and didn't even fight under the American flag. Saddam was supposed to fight, but did not. He set oil wells afire, and we accuse him of carrying out a scorched earth policy. Yet Jewish-controlled America dropped the equivalent, listen carefully, of over 50 Hiroshima nuclear bombs. Confusion abounds. Evil power resulted from the building of Babel, and the same power is becoming manifest in the forming of the New World Order. What was it that God disapproved of most in the building of the Tower of Babel? The power that became accessible to man as a result. Quote, "And the Lord said, Behold, the people are one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do." Genesis, the 11th chapter, the 6th verse. In other words, anything they decided to do, they could do because no one could stop them. The New American Standard Bible says, quote, "And now nothing which they propose to do will be impossible for them or withheld from them." The end of quote. This point concerning power, most have not considered concerning the New World Order, even though it's becoming apparent. It's a point that must be considered at length. Consider the power before you rejoice. The Arab world, as well as the true Christians, has been an obstacle to the Jewish Zionist plans for a new world order. Today, that world is forced to bow due to the awesome power that has been manifested in the new world order conflict in the Middle East. Consider the power to decide right and wrong that has been manifested in this Middle East scenario. Of course, we don't call it the power to decide right and wrong or good and evil. We call it the power of the press. For example, consider the following facts. China took Tibet. Vietnam prostrated Cambodia. The Soviet Union rampaged the Baltic states, and Syria annexed Lebanon. And the Jews have been taking everything in sight for years. And no one seems to call it evil. Yet when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, it became the evil act of an evil madman. A new Stalin soon to take over the world. Obviously, someone in this whole affair exhibited a power to determine good and evil. Such a power is a godlike power. Quote, "You will be like God, knowing good and evil." Genesis, the 3rd chapter, the 5th verse. This power is addressed in the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, a blueprint for one world conquest, which was captured at the turn of the century and made available by Henry Ford. Protocol number 7 states, quote, "We must compel the governments of the Goyim," that's non-Jews or cattle, "to take action in the direction favored by our widely conceived plan, already approaching the desired consummation by what we shall represent as public opinion, secretly prompted by us through the means of that so-called great power, the press, which, with a few exceptions that may be disregarded, is already entirely in our hands." End of quote from the protocol. Saddam Hussein was declared an evil dictator, yet the Kuwait dictator, or emir, was declared to be a legitimate government. Now consider such power, but go a step further. Suppose those Jews with this power decide Christianity is an evil religion and must be eliminated. They've shown they have the power to make whomever they wish to be the enemy before the people. Before pious little do-nothing Christian boys and girls ridicule such a possibility, thinking no one would think evil of their faith, they should consider the following news item from the Indianapolis UPI. Quote, Indiana has agreed to place a pamphlet in the state park in rooms that warns readers that the Bible is a violent, racist, and sexist fable. The pamphlet, published by the Freedom from Religion Foundation, Madison, Wisconsin, will be placed in the 550 rooms of the State Park Inn, State Department of Natural Resources officials said. It was submitted in protest of the governor's decision last year to keep Gideon Bibles in the rooms. End of quote from the Indianapolis UPI. Suppose that instead of an organization called Freedom from Religion Foundations, another organization called the United Nations wants to eliminate Bibles and decides Christianity is no longer a legitimate religion because it allegedly has too much bigotry or because it opposes other religions like Hinduism. Remember, presently the United Nations headquarters has a New Age Hindu meditation room and a Hindu guru is on the UN payroll. So under the blessing of a new world order, it is decided Christians are the evil enemies, and UN soldiers are sent to round up the Christians. Who's going to stop them? For you see, under such a system, there exists such power that nothing they decide or imagine to do will be impossible for them to do. The Christian obstacle to the new world order could thus be eliminated. In President Bush's address to Congress March 6, 1991, he again spoke in favor of the New World Order and urged the nation to set, quote, the face of this nation against discrimination, bigotry, and hate. Eliminate them, end of quote. No doubt many Christians said amen to the president's statement, not considering the fact that many groups consider the Bible a book of hate, bigotry, discrimination, and so forth, along with its advocates. Some will say an attempt to eliminate Christianity will never happen. Yet the book of Acts records how the Jews once manipulated the Roman government to declare war on Christianity. Others could not picture their countrymen carrying out orders against them because they failed to consider that with a new world order, there is no sovereign country, and national patriotism is replaced with world patriotism. Consider now how the new world order could use its power to quell a national revival. To understand how this could be, one must consider and understand further what the new world order is intended to be. President Bush said, quote, what is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea. A new world order where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind. Peace and security, freedom and the rule of law, such as a world worthy of our struggle and our children's future. If there is to be a rule of law, then someone should be asking what that law will be. Since the New World Order is man's invention, we know the law will be man's law. Will it be communist laws, oriental laws, English common law, law of the jungle, or what? Notice, no one is asking, and more importantly, no one is telling. Now picture this New World Order in place over all the nations of the earth with its rule of law. What happens then when there is a national revival, that is a certain nation of God's people discover the law of their God, and with repentance they resolve to follow and obey God's law? Such an event has happened before in Bible history. See the 2 Chronicles 35th chapter. This would mean many changes for that nation, such as the cancellation of debt, the outlawing of interest, the stopping of race pollution, homosexuality, interracial marriage, and so forth. Now, certainly the international Jew bankers are not going to favor such a revival, and suddenly it's declared by the community of nations in the New World Order that God's law is contrary to New World Order law, that it is a law of hatred and bigotry, and is not legitimate law. Then the New World Order does to that nation what was done to Iraq. What or who's to stop them? Now consider that the New World Order will be stopped and destroyed. Just as the old Tower of Babel was destroyed by the God of the Christian Bible, so it will happen again. Since God is going to destroy such an order of man, it becomes vain for the kings and nations to attempt to build it, just as Psalm states, quote, "Why are the nations in an uproar, and the people devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us." The second Psalm, verse 1 to 3. The prophecy in Malachi seems to address the subject. Quote, "Though Edom says, 'We have been beaten down, but we will return and build up the ruins,' thus says the Lord of hosts, 'They may build, but I will tear down, and men will call them the wicked territory, and the people toward whom the Lord is indignant forever.'" Malachi, the first chapter, the fourth verse. Note from this scripture how men were building upon ruins. The King James translation uses the term desolate places. What happened to the old Tower of Babel and the old city of Babylon? They were made ruin and desolate. Quote, "She will be completely desolate. Everyone who passes by Babylon will be horrified." Jeremiah, 50th chapter, 13th verse. The building of the New World Order is the rebuilding or building upon the ruins of Babel and Babylon. The people doing the building were the descendants of Esau, known as Edom. This scripture gives us clues as to how to identify them. They seem to have had a persecution complex. Quote, "We have been beaten down," end of quote. Their wickedness was to be discovered, and men would come to properly identify them as the people whom the Lord is indignant against forever. So prior to that, could they have been looked upon as God's chosen people who always feel persecuted? Are you listening? The 1925 edition of the Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 5, page 41, states, quote, "Edom is in modern Jewry," end of quote. The Biblica Encyclopedia, Volume 2, Column 1187, says that the Edomites are part of Jewry. The scientist and historian Dr. David Davidson wrote, "Indeed, the Edomites later became completely absorbed in Jewry, and under their aggressive intrusion, the Jews became racially the medium of expression for the Edomite ideal for which Herod the Great had first given political formation. The Edomite intrusion into Judaism at every historical point of contact is fully discussed in the volumes of the Cambridge Ancient History. The history of the latest phase of the intrusion, absorption or intermarriage, is in the summary of the Encyclopedia Biblica, Volume 2, Column 1187. Even the fact that the Edomites have at length become Jews was soon completely forgotten by the exponents of the Jewish tradition. Remember, it is this tradition which Christian ministers have been tricked into preaching instead of the truth. The New World Order is a Jewish ideal. The following quote comes from the Jewish world, February 9th, 1933, quote, "The great ideal of Judaism is that the whole world shall be imbued with Jewish teachings, and that in a universal brotherhood of nations, a greater Judaism in fact, all the separate races and religions shall disappear. That's a quote from the Jews. Today, the people who represent in part Esau's descendants, the Jews, are warring against Jacob's descendants, the Aryans, the Israelites, in an attempt to regain the birthright. It gets confusing for the people. Babel is confusion. For they have been told by their ministers that the modern Jews are the Israelites known as Judah, when in their own Jewish writings they admit they are not. The 1980 Jewish Almanac states, quote, "It is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew, or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or a Hebrew." Here's a quote from the Bible. "I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Israelites and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." The second chapter of Revelation, the 9th verse. The Jewish Babylonian Talmud came out of Babylon in 1040 A.D. In 1934, Rabbi Hertz wrote in the foreword of Introduction to the Jerusalem Talmud, quote, "When we come to the Babylonian Gemara, we are dealing with what most people understand when they speak or write of the Talmud. Its birthplace, Babylonia, now listen carefully, folks, was an autonomous Jewish center for a longer period than any other land, namely from soon after 586 B.C. to the year 1040 A.D., 626 years, end of quote, from the Jews. Did you hear that? They admit themselves that Babylonia was a Jewish center of power for 1,626 years. Did your preacher teach you that? Man needs to consider today's new world order is an order that's out of order with God. It's man's age-old communistic, socialistic, humanistic attempt to build a world utopia apart from the laws of God. Yet Deuteronomy chapter 28 teaches such a utopia apart from his law is impossible. Such an attempt was always and has always been the nature of Judaism. Rabbi Stephen Wise once said, quote, "Some call it communism, but I call it Judaism," end of quote. The same people push toward the proposed new world order. According to President Bush's State of the Union address, peace and security is to be achieved through the New World Order. Yet Jesus said, quote, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives," end of quote. That's from John, the 14th chapter, the 27th verse. The Greek word for peace refers to welfare, and the Greek word for world is order, the world. In other words, Jesus has told us he gives us peace and security, not as the world order gives. The proposed new world order is simply the rebuilding of Babel and Babylon in opposition to the new Jerusalem Christians are to be building. We are dealing with two different systems, man's and Almighty God's. We can rejoice when we consider man's system is about to be destroyed. Quote, "While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pangs, upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape," end of quote, from 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter, 3rd verse. On September 11, 1990, President Bush said, quote, "Today that new world order is struggling to be born. Remember, struggling to be born involves birth pangs. Another quote. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed and happy are all who take refuge in him. The second Psalm, 10th through 12th verses. Another biblical quote. That when the wicked sprouted up like grass, and all who did iniquity flourished, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. The 92nd Psalm, the 7th verse. We continue now with pertinent excerpts from the Bible, the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, the 1st through 6th verses. After this I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons, and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her race mixing. The kings of the earth committed race pollution with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and Almighty God has remembered her crimes." The 6th through 10th verses. Do to her what she has done to you. Pay this Jewess back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, "I sit as queen, I am not a widow, and I will never mourn. Therefore in one day her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is Almighty God Yahweh who judges her. When the merchants of the earth who committed race mixing with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, these Jews will stand far off and cry, 'Oi, oi, oi, O great city, O Babylon, city of power, in one hour your doom has come.'" The 11th through 20th verses. The Jewish and other merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth, and every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble. Cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh, and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. They will say, "The fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, 'Oi, oi, oi, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In one hour such great wealth has been brought to ruin yet.'" every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea, will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, "Was there ever a city like this great city?" They will throw dust on their heads, and with weeping and mourning cry out, "Oi, oi, oi, O great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour, this Jewish financial system has been brought to ruin. Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, Aryan saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged these bankers for the way they treated you." The 24th verse. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all who have been killed on the earth. Saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of Almighty God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of Almighty God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and Almighty God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink freely from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son."
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.